It's like the sound of mum and dad's podiatry practice. Every day after school, I waited in the back with a background of them cutting the patient's nails and grinding them, and then the door alarm getting triggered every time someone went to use the water cooler. The alarm wasn't really positioned in the best spot, to say the least, but that was the sound that I think of when I think of my childhood. But for someone else, it could be this. According to the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, in Australia up to 400 children are born each year with significant or permanent hearing loss. With such a distinct linkage of sound to my childhood memories and even still today, I wanted to understand how a lack of sound can affect the development of memories in those hard of hearing.
Actually, quite a very quiet sibling. Who were quite nerdy in the sense that, is that a PC word? But they were really into reading. That's what they did. And they used to be really annoyed because I was not that much into reading and as early as they were into it. So I really wanted to chat. So I guess my own voice.
That's the sound of Medulla Shamar's childhood. She's an associate professor in the Department of Linguistics at Macquarie University who has researched deeply into the cognitive effects experienced by those hard of hearing.
Like, what is that sound? Where is this coming from? Is it important for me? How we make all those judgments is the moment we hear a sound, some we ignore, some we pursue, right? So those are the kind of aspects that I'm interested in, which we refer to as the auditory processing.
So how exactly does sound affect our memory?
So Baddeley, I think I'm pronouncing his name right. He came up with a model of what memory is and how it engages with the visual domain versus auditory domain. So absolutely, there's a whole domain within that model, which is your phonological loop or articulation loop that is feeding or is fed by the anything verbal that we hear. So that feeds into it. And that's what we think builds up your representation of sounds. And that kind of builds into how you start to sound words, learn to read words, and then comprehend what you're reading, so on and so. So there's a really important role of that. But then if you're thinking about people with hearing loss, then what does that mean? Well, if you're thinking about children who are, for example, from the deaf culture, and not that their hearing loss hasn't been corrected, I suppose, by a device, and then visual memory becomes really, really relevant, which is another domain in your memory.
Okay, so we have these two domains, but as someone from a hearing background, it's so hard to imagine comprehension without sound. When I think, it's just little me talking in my head. But how does someone hard of hearing experience that?
It's just different. It's difficult for us to imagine, but it does exist and it works.
She's talking about other forms of communication. In Australia, we have AusLAN, the Australian Sign Language.
And there's a whole bilingual, bicultural, mode of communication and learning. So there's no reason to believe that even if they belong to the deaf culture, they're not wearing a device to correct their hearing, they cannot learn. There's a whole system, there's a whole language set up. The only thing is then they learn reading, for example, based on their manual language skills.
As a person, you're a tapestry of your experiences and memory. We form these from our senses and communication with the world around us. For some, where one of those senses are removed, the mind just learns differently. But no matter how those memories are made, they make you, you.